B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Yuma Daf Samach Aleph. We're going to start 7 lines from the top of the Amud. V'chein b'heichal, v'chein b'mizbeach, v'chulu. And this takes us back to the Mishnah on Daf Samach Amud Aleph. We saw there that, and we've learned throughout the Perek, that there were a number of different stages where blood was applied. There was the sprinkling of the blood of the bull and the goats in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That was number one. Then there was the sprinkling of the blood of the bull and the goat in the Heichel towards the curtain of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then there was a third Kapora, stage of Kapora of Atonement, and that was applying the blood to the corners of the Mizbeach after the two bloods were mixed together, applying it to the corners of the Mizbeach and to the Gag, to the top of the Mizbeach. And then there was the fourth stage, which was a discussion about the applying or pouring the remaining blood, the Shiraim, onto the Yesoid of the Mizbeach, the big Mizbeach in the Azorah. And we saw in the Mishnah that each group is an entity of its own, and if something goes wrong between one group and the next, for example, you finish doing the Hazois, the sprinkling in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then the blood spilt, you do need to shecht the korban again, and you have to have new blood now to be able to continue, but you do not need to go and do what you've already done again. If, however, something got spilt in the middle of a set, either in the middle of the Hazois in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the blood spilt, or in the middle of the Hazois in the Heichel, or in the middle of the Azois when applying them to the Mizbeach, then there was a machlekes. Can you carry on from where you are, from where you left off, from where it's spilt? That means, do you just shecht another korban and then continue exactly where you were? If, for example, you've done one lemailo and two lemato and then it's spilt, you carry on from the third lemato. Or no, since this is a single entity of kapora, then you have to start this group again. And that was the machlekes in the Mishnah. The Tanakhamas said you have to start each group, and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon said that mimokim sheposak mishom hu maschil. And just by the way, it's worth knowing that when we look at a group of kaporos, a single kapora, so to speak, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where there's a machlekes, whether if something went wrong, if the blood spilt in the middle, whether you have to start again or you can carry on where you left off. The question is, if the sprinkling of the blood of the bull and the sprinkling of the blood of the goat, is that considered as a single sequence or is it two separate things? If you finished sprinkling all the blood that you need to, the achas lemalo sheva lemato of the bull and then the blood of the goat spilt, then do you have to now start again and sprinkle again the achas lemalo sheva lemato of the bull, or do we say no, you finished that, you only have to start and only have to do the sprinkling achas lemalo sheva lemato of the goat? Even according to the opinion that says you have to go to the beginning of this sequence, then is the bull and the goat a single kapora or two? That's a discussion in the Rishonim here. And this braisa is now going to explain a posuk in Parashas Achremois, Perek Tezayin, which we've learned so much about, in posuk Lamed Gimel. It says there, v'chiper, referring to the Kohen Gadol, if we would sum up what has the Kohen Gadol achieved with his avodah on Yom Kippurim, v'chiper, he's brought atonement as Mikdash HaKodesh, v'es Oil Moed, v'es HaMizbeach, yechaper, v'al HaKohanim, v'al Kol Am HaKol, yechaper. And that means the pasuk here is split up into two. First, it tells us about the Mikdash HaKodesh, the different the issues that the Kohen Gadol, that his avodah has managed to atone for. It's called Migdash HaKodesh, and Ve'es Oel Moed, Ve'es HaMizbeach Yechaper. And then there's a list of who is getting the atonement. The Kohenim are singled out. Kol Am HaKol is singled out, which are the Yisraelim. And Yechaper, which certainly includes the Levim, but not only. We're going to see this inside. And before we see the braisa inside, it's very important that we get clear what's going on here. There are two brackets of averus that are dealt with and that Klal Yisrael get atonement for on Yom Kippur. One of them is Tumas Mikdosh of Kedoshov, if somebody by mistake goes into the Beis HaMikdosh when he's Tomei or became Tomei in the Beis HaMikdosh and stays there too long, then such a person needs atonement. And it's the sugis elsewhere in Shas, but it could well be that there's only certain cases they get atonement, and sometimes we're waiting for him to realize that he made this mistake, and then he's got individual kapora, korbonus, and that he has to bring, but in the meantime, the kapora on Yom Kippur by the Kohen Gadol is protecting him. So that's called Tumas Mikdosh. Now also, we have two korbonis. We're talking here about the goat, and we're talking here about the bull. So we know, and everybody agrees, that the goat itself, the soira pnim, which the Kohen Gadol shechted and applied the blood, sprinkled the blood in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the Heichal, on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, that would atone for Klal Yisrael, for anyone amongst Klal Yisrael who had transgressed by mistake Tumas Mikdosh or Kedoshov. Not everybody agrees with. The Kohanim, what part of the Avoida atoned for them for Tumas Mikdosh? That was the bull that the Kohen Gadol brought on Yom Kippur, that would atone for the Kohanim's Tumas Mikdosh Ukedoshov. Now, everybody also agrees that what's with all the other Averus? Yom Kippur is a day where we get atoned for all the Averus. So there we have now the vidui, the confession that was said on the Soir HaMishtaleach, on that goat that was going to be sent away to the Azazel. So there, that vidui, everybody agrees that all of Klal Yisrael were atoned for all their averus on that Soir HaMishtaleach. The question now is the Kohanim, all the other averus of the Kohanim. Do we say that in the same way as Tumas Mikdosh Ukedoshov, where that there's a difference between Klal Yisrael and the Kohanim, that Klal Yisrael get atoned for via the Soir, the goat, and the Kohanim with the bull? Do we say the same here with all the other averus, that the Kohanim, that all of Klal Yisrael get atoned by the goat, not the same goat, not the goat that the blood went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but the Azazel goat, and the Kohanim are going to be atoned by the vidui, the confession that was said on that same bull? Or do we say no? Do we say that the vidui, the confession on the Azazel, was atoning for the whole of Klal Yisrael, including the Kohanim, for all the other averus? That's going to be Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Let's see the braisa. Ton Rabbonon. So the pasuk says, "V'chiper es mikdash hakodesh," the Kohen Gadol, over Yom Kippur, he would atone for the Tumas Mikdash or Kedoshov. For the whole of Klal Yisrael, it would be on the soir, the chatos that was shechted, the goat that the blood came to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and for the Kohanim, it was the bull. And what is the Mikdash HaKodesh? Zelifnai v'lifnim, for any tumah that may have happened in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Oihel Moyed. The Pasuk continues, Ve'es Oihel Moyed. Zeheichel. It's talking about any tumah that may have, if a person became Tomei in the Heichel, that he would get atoned. And then the Pasuk carries on, Ve'es HaMizbeach. K'mashmoy. It's talking about if somebody became Tomei whilst on the Mizbeach. And there's a discussion here why the Mizbeach is singled out. The Mizbeach, the small Mizbeach, was inside. The big Mizbeach was included in the Heichal. The small Mizbeach is included in the Heichal, and the big Mizbeach is included in the Azorah. It was in the Ezras, in the Azorah of the Beis HaMikdosh, which is about to be mentioned, where the Pasuk says, Yechaper Eilu Azoris. So for some reason, the Lifnai v'Lifnim is mentioned, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Heichal is mentioned, and the Azor is mentioned, and the Mizbeach is singled out. The Achrenim discussed that here. But that is what the Korbonis of Yom Kippur would atone for. And like we said before, the Soir, the Chatos HaPnimi, that was Mechaper for Tumas Mikdosh Ukedoshov of Klal Yisrael, and the bull of the that the Kohen Gadol brought, that was atoning for these averus for the Kohanim. And then the pasuk carries on, Who's getting atonement? HaKoyanim, K'mashmon, the Koyanim. Am HaKol, who's that? When the Pasuk says, Val Kol Am HaKol, who's that? Eri Yisrael, it's all the Yisraelim. Yechapir, when it says Yechapir, it doesn't single out who, but who's left. It must be, it's referring to the Levim. So that Rabbi Yehuda now says that Hish Hushvu Kulon L'Kaparo. Since it says the last word in this Pasuk, Yechapir, and it's true that we said it must be referring to the Levim, but the word Yechapir doesn't single out Levim. The word Yechapir means he will atone, as if there's a single, there's something that they all have in common. Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim are all being atoned for equally, in the same thing. So it certainly cannot be Tumas Mikdash Ukadoshov, because that we already said before, that the Yisraelim, the non-Kohanim, got atoned for Tumas Mikdash with a Soyer, and the Kohanim with a Par. So it must be we're talking about all the other Averis. Now everybody agrees that the Klal Yisrael's Averis were atoned for by the confession said on the Soyer HaMishtaleach. And since over here we have Yechapir, where there's something equal with all of Klal Yisrael, Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, it must be, says Rav Yehuda, that regarding all the other Averis, the Kohanim are also atoned by the confession said on the Soyer, which is going to be sent to the Azazel. Shekulon miskaprim b'soyer mishdaleach b'shar Averis. Different Rabbi Yehuda, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Shimon argues, Rav Shimon says that Kashem shedam ha-soyer, ha-naaseh bifnim, mechapir al Yisrael, b'tumas mikdash u'kadoshov, in the kach dam ha-por mechapir al ha-koyanim, b'tumas mikdash u'kadoshov. In the same way as the soyer, the goat, regarding Tumas Mikdash u'kadoshov, Klal Yisrael were atoned for Tumas Mikdash u'kadoshov with the goat, and the Kohanim were atoned to Tumas Mikdash u'kadoshov with the bull. There was no confession, it was just doing the Avodah and sprinkling the blood. And Kashem Shevidui Shel Soyer HaMishtaleach, the confession for on the goats that was going to be sent La'azazil, Mechapir Al Yisrael B'Shar Averis, Shimon says, and this is where Shimon's arguing with Rabbi Yehuda, Kach Vidui Shel Par Mechapir Al HaKoyanim B'Shar Averis, it's the confession said on the bull which is going to atone for all the other Averis of the Kohanim. So that's the Machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, where the Kohanim, regarding all other Averis, do they get atoned by the confession on the bull, or do they get atoned together with the rest of Klal Yisrael with the Soyer HaMishtaleach? Continues the Gemara. Tonu Rabbonon. There's another Pasuk, and we've learned about this Pasuk already. It says in the Pasuk, V'chilo Mikapir, when he'll finished getting his atonement, Es HaKodesh, Ves Oil Moed, Ves HaMizbeach, V'hikri Ves HaSoyer Hechai. And this pasuk is telling us what happens when the Kohen and the Kohen Gadol has finished everything he had to do in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the Heichal, on the little Mizbeach, the Mizbeach HaPnimi, when he finished applying the blood and doing everything, all the sprinkling of the blood, then the pasuk says, V'chilo mikapir es HaKodesh ves oil moed ves HaMizbeach, etc. Says the Braisa, V'chilo mikapir es HaKodesh. What's the Kodesh? Ze lifnai velifnim. It's talking about that he finished doing all the sprinkling inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Ve'es oihal moed ze heichal is talking about that he's finished doing all the sprinkling in the heichal, towards the curtain of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then the Pasuk says, Ve'es hamizbeach kamashmoi. He's finished applying the blood to the corners of the mizbeach and to the top of the mizbeach. So you see that the Pasuk speaks about the atonement that happened in these three respective places. Melamed, this teaches us, Shekulon kaporo kaporo bifne atzmon. And we've had this already before in the Mishnah, that the kaporo, the atonement in the Kodesh HaKadoshim was an entity on its own. The atonement for the sprinkling towards the curtain was something on its own. The atonement for applying the blood on the Mizbeach was an entity on its own. Mikan omru. And it's from this Pasuk that the Chachomim said, and we saw this in the Mishnah here, the Brice is going to teach this to us at length, that Nosan Miktsas Matonois Shebifnim. If you just did part of the sprinkling of the blood in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, V'nishbach Adam, and the blood got spilt in the middle, before you could finish, Yovi Dam Achir, you have to shecht the korban again, V'yaschil B'tchila b'matonis shebifnim, and you have to start again the sequence of what you were doing, the sprinkling in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Rabbi Elazar v'Rabbi Shimon Oimrim, as we saw in our Mishnah, Daf Samech Omed Aleph, Einu Maschil Elo Mimokim Sheposak, when the new blood is available, he carries on from exactly where he stopped from before, where the blood spilled. Gomaris Mahamatonis Shebifnim, if he finished doing all the sprinkling in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and before he could start sprinkling towards the curtain, whilst in the Heichal, V'Nishbach Adam, the blood got spilled. Yovidam Acher, he's got to shecht another animal, bring the blood. V'yaschil b'tchilo b'matonis shebeheichal, he does not have to redo the matonis in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Matonis means the applying of the blood, the sprinkling of the blood, does not need to be redone. As we learned in this pasuk just now, that the Torah separated the kapora of the Kodesh HaKadoshim from that of the Heichal. Nosan miktas matonis shebeheichal, if in the middle of sprinkling, you'd already done part of the sprinkling towards the curtains, v'nishbach adam, the blood spilled, yovidam achir v'yaschil b'tchilo beheichal. He brings the new blood and he has to start again from the sprinkling within the Heichal. Rabbi Elazar v'Rabbi Shimon Oimrim, again they say, Einu maschil elo mimokim sheposak, he doesn't go to the beginning of the sprinkling in the Heichal, he starts from where he stopped. Gomar matonis shebeheichal, if he finished sprinkling all the blood towards the curtain, v'nishbech adam, and the blood got spilled, yovidam achir v'yaschil b'tchilo b'matonis hamizbeach, he gets the new blood, he starts now applying the mizbeach, applying the blood to the corners of the Mizbeach and the top of the Mizbeach. Nosan miktas matonis shebe Mizbeach, if he's done part of those matonis to the Mizbeach, v'nishbech adam, and it's spilled, yovidam achir, he brings more blood, v'yaschil b'tchilo, b'matonis ha-Mizbeach, he has to start again with the matonis ha-Mizbeach. Rabbi Elazar v'Rabbi Shimon, I'm again, Rabbi Elazar v'Rabbi Shimon argue and say, mimochim sheposak, who maschil, he only has to carry on from where he stopped. Gomar matonis shebe Mizbeach, if he finished doing all the blood, applying it to the corners of the little Mizbeach and the top of the Mizbeach. Now what's next? He's going out of the Heichal and he's pouring the Shiraim onto the Yesoid HaMizbeach. V'nishbach Adam, if however the blood got spilt before he could pour it onto the Yesoid, divrei hakei lo ma'akvi. Then everybody in this braisa, referring to the Tanakhama in this braisa, Reb Loza and Reb Shimon, they all say that the pouring of the Shiraim is not ma'akev. We saw in the Gemara early on Daf Samach, there are some opinions who say that it is ma'akev. But all the Tanoim in this braisa say it's not ma'akev. Divrei Hakil, loy ma'akvi. Omar Rabbi Yechanan. That was the end of the braisa. Rabbi Yechanan says, Oshneem, both these opinions, the two opinions we saw in our Mishnah, the same two opinions we saw in this braisa at length, of if you have to bring new blood, do you have to start at the beginning of this sequence, or can you continue in the middle? Oshneem mikro echad dorshu. They both learn out their respective points of view from the same pasuk. It says in the pasuk, V'chiper Aaron al karnoisov achas bashono, that Aaron HaKohen, that's the Kohen Gadol, he gets atonement, he achieves atonement by applying the blood to the corner of the corners of the Mizbeach HaPnimi once a year. Midam chatas hakipurim achas bashono, yechaper olav l'derisechem kodesh kodoshim hu l'ashem. So the Gemara says, what do we see from the word chatos, midam chatos? Midam chatas hakipurim achas bashono. So Reb Meir says, and that's the Tanakhama that we've seen. Reb Meir says, Sovar chatos achas. For each of these types of kapora, there's the Kodesh HaKadoshim kapora, there's the Heichal kapora, there's Mizbeach kapora. As we saw before, the Gemara said, each one is kapora, kapora, bifne atzmon. Then chatos achas. Any one kapora has to be made up of a single chatos. You can't bring part of it with one chatos, part of it with another chatos. And therefore, Reb Meir says that if you spilt the blood and you have to start again, when you have to bring new blood, you have to start from the sequence again, chatos achas. That means any applying of blood that was not finished, if you didn't finish the achas lemalo, sheva lemato in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or in the Heichal, or you didn't finish that particular kapora, if you didn't finish, we disregard everything that you've started already. It's as if you haven't started yet. We need chatos achas, we need a single blood of a single animal that is going to do the whole atonement of each respective atonement, whether it's Kodesh Kodashim, Heichal, or Mizbeach. Chatos achas amarti lecha velo ishtei chatois. Make sure that each of the kaporis is made of a single chatos, not two. That was Reb Meir. Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon Savra, where Elazar, Reb Shimon says that when you read the word chatos, don't read it as being a single korban chatos. Read it as coming as meaning chitui. Chitui means to sprinkle, to apply the blood. When it says chatos achas, it means that you should, that every stage of the kapara should only ever be done once. Never sprinkle the same thing twice, which means achas lemaila of the soil, for example, for argument's sake, and you only do that once, not twice, even if the blood spilt after that, and you have to bring more blood from a new animal, don't do those ones again. Carry on where you're up to. Don't go back, because each point, each sprinkling, each chitui is done once. Chitui echod amarti lecha velo shtei chituyim. You never do the same sprinkling or the sprinkling for the same point. You don't do that twice. So there's two ways of reading the word chatos. Does it mean a korban chatos, or does it mean applying and sprinkling of the blood? Continues the Gemara. Tanya, Omar Rebbe. Rebbe said in the Braisa as follows: Li chilek Rabbi Yaakov belugin. Very, very cryptic, but Rebbe said all of five words. Rabbi Yaakov, he separated. That means he made a differentiation between what we just saw now, a machlokes Reb Meir on one side and Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon on the other side. That Reb Meir says whenever you start a sequence, start at the beginning, and even if you have to start, if you have to go back to the beginning. And Reb Meir says, no, you start where you finished. Reb Yaakov told Rebbe, he said to him that regarding Lugin, it's not the case. What's going on with Lugin? And this is taking us now to the parasha that we're going to learn about at length of the Metzora. When somebody had Tzoras, and then he became Tohir, there was a very long procedure that had to be done. When he first became Tohir, when he first became healed, is more accurate, he has to bring the eight areas, the Ezev, the Shnit Toilas, and the two birds. He gets shaven, and he goes to the mikveh. After that, he can come to Yerushalayim. He has to wait now 7 days. After 7 days, he again shaves, and he goes to the mikveh again. On day eight, what does he have to do? He goes to the mikveh. He brings a korban chatos. He brings a korban osham with a loig echod shemen. And he actually does a tenufah. They get lifted up together. It's almost like a set. The korban osham with the loig, with a lug of oil. And then what happens? Then there's a number of sequences, and I'm going to outline them before we learn the Gemara, so the whole next omud will become easier. First, you do the shchita of the osham. Next, after that, obviously, is the zrikas adam. You take the blood of the osham and you sprinkle part of it onto the mizbech. Next, that he takes from the dam and he puts it onto the ear, the right ear of the metzora, and the right thumb of the metzora on his hand, and on his, and the big toe, the thumb of his feet, the big toe on his right foot, he applies some of the blood of the osham. Then we're finished with the blood. Now we're moving to the loik shemen. He takes the loik shemen, he pours it into the left hand of another kohen. One kohen pours it into the left hand of another kohen, and then this first kohen who did the pouring, he dips his finger into the oil which is being held in the left hand of the other kohen, and he sprinkles it 7 times towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He's actually standing at the Sha'ar Nikanor, but he's facing the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He's sprinkling 7 times with the oil towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's called Matonis Shebifnim. He's sprinkling it towards the Heichal. What does he do after that? He takes some more of the, some Shiraim, takes some left over, whatever's left, not whatever, he takes part of what's left in the hand of the Kohen. It's called Shiraim, left over. He takes that and he puts some of the blood again on his right ear, on his right thumb of his hand, and the big toe on his right foot. In the same place that he had put the blood of the osham, he now puts some of this oil. And then what? And then what's left after that, the shiraim of the shiraim, the remnants of the remnants of this oil, he puts some of it onto the head of the Metzaira. And after that, whatever's left gets given to, of the oil gets given to the Kohanim. That is the process. That means that what he did with the Shemen is Matonis Shebifnim, which is the sprinkling seven times towards the Heichal. There's the Matonis Shebe Behoinois. The Behoinois are his thumbs, but it, what actually was done, it was also his right ear and his thumb and big toe. That's called Matonis Shebehoinois. And then there's something called Matonis Sheberoish, which is where some of the leftover oil gets put on his head. That was the sequence. Let's see what the Gemara wants with this. So what happened now? If in the middle of this process of the Matonis Shebifnim, which we said was the sprinkling of the oil towards the Heichal, the Matonis Shebehoinois, the Matonis of the Sheberoish, if somewhere in the middle, the Loik Shemen, if it got spilt, what do you do now? Do we say it's the same Machloikas according to Reb Meir, you have to start from scratch, and according to Reb Elozar and Reb Shimon, you just continue where you are now? So Rebbe said no. Rebbe said that since it says in the Pasuk, Loig Echod, a single Loig, so before we said chatos echod, there was one chatos, but there we could play around with it. Chatos could mean a korban chatos, a single korban, or it could mean a single application of any hazor. That's what we saw was the machlokes before. Over here it says loig echod. All you have to, the matzoira will only get full kapora and tahara with a single loig. You can't hold that any other way. So everybody will agree, even Reb Elozar and Reb Shimon will agree that if the oil gets spilt, you have to start doing all these matonis again with a new loig of Shemen. That's what it means that chilek, that li, to me, says Rebbe, chilek Reb Yaakov differentiated between the blood of the bull and the goats on for the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur, and Belugin and this Loig of Shemen by the Metzora, that by the Loig of Shemen, everybody agrees that you have to go back to the beginning. Asks the Gemara, V'loy? Is that true that when it comes to the Loig, you always have to go back to the beginning, and there's nobody in the world that holds that you can continue where you finished off? Well, let's see how this works. In the braises, there's another braise. What Tanya we learnt in a braise, Nosan Miktsas Matonis Shebefnim. If he had applied some, if he'd sprinkled some of the seven sprinkles towards the Heichal, towards the Kodesh Hakodoshim with this loig, Venishbach loig, and then the rest of the loig spilt, Yovi loig Acher, you bring another loig, VeYaskel Betchilo, BeMatonis Shebeheichal, and the Matonis Shebeheichal are the Matonis Shebefnim. You're sprinkling towards the Heichal, towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim, even though he was standing by the Sharon Nikonor at the entrance of the Azara. But he says, like we saw before, the opinion of Rav Meir was, you start that sequence again. That we said there's three different Matonis, Matonis Shebefnim, Matonis Shebebehoinois, and Matonis Sheberoish. It's built in the middle of the Matonis Shebefnim, of the Heichal, towards the Heichal. So that's where you're going to start. Reb Elezer, Reb Shimon, Oimrim, Mimokim Sheposak, Humaschil, exactly the same as Reb Elezer and Reb Shimon argued by Yom Kippur. They're going to say the same here, that you can continue wherever you left off. And they don't say that because it says Loig Echod, you cannot have any, you cannot use two Loigs to get your Tara. Gomar Matnis Shebeichal, in the event that the Kohen who was sprinkling of the oil finished all the seven sprinkles towards the Heichal, towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then Venishbach HaLoig, and then the oil spilled, Yovi Loig Acher, V'yaschil B'tchilo, B'matonis Shebebehoinis. You don't need to go back and do the Matonis Shebefnim, just start with the Matonis Shebebehoinis. It's interesting that it's called Behoinis, referring to his thumbs, but it's not excluding his right ear. And the Rosh Hashir asks why the Gemara doesn't mention that. Nosan miktsas matonis bebehoinois. If you only put part of the application on the behoinois of the smetzera, v'nishbach haloig, and the loig spilt, yovi loig acher, bring another loig, v'yaschel betchila bematonis shebebehoinois. You only start that group. You don't need to go back and do the matonis shebefnim. You just do the matonis shebebehoinois. And Reb Elozar, Reb Shimon, Oimrim, Mimokim Sheposak, Umaschil. You can just continue where you finished. Gomar matonis shebebohinois. If you finished and you did all the applications of the oil to the bohinois, v'nishbach aloik, and the loik spilt before he could do the put the rest on his head, the matonis sheberoish, divrei hakel, here everybody agrees, matnois horoish leimakvois. You don't need to bring another loik, even though the Torah says that you have to take what's left and put some of it on his head. Everybody agrees, Rabbi Loza, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Meir, and the Tanakama, they all say that the matonis sheberoish are not ma'akev. He gets his tari even without it. You don't need to go and bring another loik for that. So this was the question. You see here clearly in the Braisa that even regarding the loik shemen of the Metzera, the same machlekas that we saw by the blood of on Yom Kippur applies there. So what does Rabbi say? That li chilek Rabbi Yaakov belugin, that regarding lugin is different to Yom Kippur, it's not different. Answers the Gemara Eima, when the word chilek doesn't mean that he differentiated, it didn't say it's different to Yom Kippur. What he meant was, li shono Rabbi Yaakov belugin, that he taught me that the same machlokes that we had by the blood of the bull and the goat on Yom Kippur, the same applies to the lugin. As we saw now, the Tanakama say that you can start each group individually. You do not need to start right from the beginning. And Rabbi Loza and Rabbi Shimon says you don't even need to start from that group. You can just start where you finished. Says the Gemara, Omar Mar, let's just go back to one detail, says the Gemara, that you just said now, that everybody says, Matonis Haroish Ein Ma'akvis, that if you don't apply the oil onto the head of the Metzera, he can still become Tohir. My Tama, what would be the source for that? Why would that be true? It's the same Torah, the same Psukim that say that you need to have Matonis Shebifnim, says you need to have that what's left of it is used for the Matonis Shebibohinis, and what's left of it is used for the Matonis Shebereish. Are you going to say that the source, that it's not essential, is because it says in the Pasuk, because regarding the Matonis Haroish, the Pasuk used the term, it's left over, it seems it's just a remnant, it's just something on the side, and it's not essential, would that be your source? If so, what are you going to say by the Korban Mincha? It says, that when you do a koimetz of a mincha, what's left of the mincha is called Neiseres, it's left over of the mincha. Are you going to say there that it's not ma'akev whether the leftovers actually still exist or not? We know that's not true. How chanami delay ma'akev? Are you suggesting that it's not essential? We know that if the mincha, if the shiraim of the mincha gets lost, then we don't even put the kaimutz on the mizbeach, and the whole mincha is going to become posel. So how can you say that just because the word v'hanoisar means that it's not essential? Of course the noisar doesn't mean it's not essential, as we saw by the mincha. If so, what's your source that by the matnois haroish of the loig shemen of the matzera, that it's not ma'akev? Says the Gemara, there's a fundamental difference between the fact that the mincha, the rest of the mincha, which is not part of the koimet, is called noisar, and the noisar mentioned here. It says, shani hasam dechsiv, it says In regarding the loik shemen, it is actually a double noiso, which means it's the leftovers of the leftovers, because he first used the oil to do the matonis shebifnim, sprinkling towards the heichal, and then the leftovers he used for the matonis of the bohinois, his ear and his thumbs, and then what was left over of that, it's a double leftover, is matonis shebereish. And we'll see that in the pasuk. The pasuk says, umiyeser hashemen, what's left over after sprinkling towards the kodesh kadoshim, asher al kapoy, yitein hakoyen al tenuch oizen amitayr haimonis, al boyen yode haimonis, al boyen ragla haimonis, al dama osham. So you've got that the blood that's used for the bohinos is already called umiyeser, it's a leftover. And then after that it says in the posuk, it says a few psukim later, v'hanoisar min hashemen, and what's left over after the bohinos, that's what you put on his head. If it's a remnant of a remnant, a noisar of a noisar, that's different to the mincha, and therefore it's not ma'akev. Continues the Gemara, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. We're going to continue learning about the Metzera now. Asham Metzera, we learned before that on day 8, the Metzora has to come to the Beis HaMikdash. He's got to Tovel first, and then he brings the Chatos. Together with the Chatos, he brings an Asham with a Loig Shemen, etc., as we learned before. This Asham Metzora, what happens if he Sheshachato Yishaloi Lishmoi? He shechted it Shaloi Lishmoi, he didn't have the right intentions, he did it with the intention, so to speak, as if it was an oilo, if it was a shlomim. And we know that, we learned at the beginning of Masech HaZvachim, that kol HaZvachim shenishchetu shaloi lishmon ksheirim, elo shaloi olu lebailim l'shem choiva. You can't say it's possible. You can bring it on the Mizbeach, it's a kosher korban, but it's loy olu lebailim l'shem choiva. The bailim, the owners, have to bring another one in order to receive their atonement, to achieve their atonement, their tahara, whatever they need to achieve with this animal, with this korban, they have to do it again. So what does that mean? That for all intents and purposes, that means it's an avoida that was not finished. They couldn't finish it. And this very much reminds us of what we said before, that according to Reb Meir, if you did part of the hazois of any group of kapora, since it says one chatos, and you cannot have any atonement, any group, any kapora that comes from two chatois, we said before, that means that you started sprinkling, but you didn't finish the sprinkling, you didn't finish the kapora because the blood got spilt in the meantime. We saw the same applies by the oil, but let's talk about the blood. The blood got spilt in the meantime, and then we say that since you didn't finish it, then we disregard it, and you bring another korban, another chatos, and then you start that kapora, you start that again. So we've got a similar concept here with an osham of the Metzora that was shechted shelo lishmo, that you're not going to be able to finish the kapora with it because it was shelo lishmo. It's loy olu lebailim l'shem choiva. So Rabbi Yechanon said, "Bonu the machlekas Reb Meir, Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon." It's the same machlekas as before, according to Reb Meir, that you need what that he says that if you have to stop in the middle, it's as if you didn't even start, and you have to start the sequence again. Here as well, the fact that it was shelo lishmo, then right from the start, it was an animal that you wouldn't be able to finish the process with. We disregard it. You can bring another. You have to bring another osham. Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon, they argue. Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon said that even though you didn't finish the sequence of the kapara, since you started it, it counts. And therefore, when you bring the new blood, you only continue from where you stopped. So what's going to be here? Reb Meir d'Omar Yovi Achir v'yaschil b'tchilo. Reb Meir said before, bring the new blood and start this again, because since what you started, you didn't finish. Therefore, we disregard it altogether. Start again. Hochanami here too, with the Osham of the Metzora. Yovi Achir v'yishchit. Bring another korban Osham and shecht it. However, Reb Elazar v'Reb Shimon, according to Reb Elazar v'Reb Shimon, she'imrim mimokim she'posak mishamu maschil, that they say that even though you didn't finish what you started, we do not disregard what you already started. Over here is going to be the same. We're not going to disregard it. And what did we say over there with the blood? That you have to bring another korban, bring shecht again, shecht a new korban, bring the blood and continue where you finished. How could you continue? How can you continue? It says you can only bring one chatos. So we said, no, it doesn't say one chatos. According to Reb Elazar v'Reb Shimon, the word chatos means chitui. It means that you shouldn't sprinkle twice. So according to their understanding of the word chatos, it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that a kapora cannot be done with two chatois. However, over here, we're going to have a problem. Because over here, it says explicitly in the Chumash, keves echod osham, that you can only bring to get the tahara, to get the full atonement and purification of this metzora, you can only use a single korban osham. There's no other way. With chatos, you can say it doesn't mean chatos, it means chitui. Here it's clear, a keves echod osham, a single korban osham. And since we do not disregard what you started doing, it's not possible. It's a start, but you cannot finish. So since according to Reb Shimon and Reb Elazar, we do not disregard what you started, we're stuck. You can't bring another one because that means the atonement will be done with two ashams. And you're not allowed to do that. The Torah says, keves echad asham. So ein lo itakona, there's nothing he can do. Since he needs to have this korban asham in order to be able to get full to be able to get back his status of being able to eat kachim, for example, over here he's not going to be able to eat kachim again, because the asham he brought was brought shaloi l'shmoi, and therefore it's loy olu l'baylim l'shem choyva, it doesn't help. Another one he cannot bring because it says just keves echod asham. He's got no takana. There's no way of repairing the situation. Maskif lo Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda's now got a question against Rabbi Yochanan. You, Rabbi Yochanan, said that according to Reb Meir, that said that a process that wasn't finished, it's as if you didn't start it. You're allowed to bring in another korban asham. No, that doesn't work either, says Rav Chisda. If you look in the pasuk, it says, "V'lokach hakoyen es hakeves ha'echod v'hikriv oisay la'asham v'es loyga shemen v'heinif oisam tnufa lifnei Hashem." The pasuk says, and we mentioned this before, that they would bring the asham and lift it up together with the loyg shemen. The only korban asham you can use is the korban asham that you lifted up together with the loyg of shemen. Now the that korban is shaloi lishmoi, you cannot use it. You're going to bring another korban, but the next asham is not the asham you lifted up with the loig hashemen. So even according to Rav Meir, you cannot bring another asham, and there's no takana. There's nothing we can do here. That was Rav Chisda's reservation against Rabbi Yochanan. And Kasha, indeed, we don't know how Rabbi Yochanan is going to answer this. Nonetheless, and we know that in contrast, we mentioned this earlier, in contrast to Tiyuvta in other places in Shas, which means a question which is an absolute refutation, Kushya just means it's a question and there is an answer. And very often the Mefarshim suggest answers, and for whatever reason the Gemara chose to say Kashya instead of giving the answer. So it's Kashya. But nonetheless, Tanya Kava said Rabbi Yochanan, even though Rav Chisda asked a question against Rabbi Yochanan, that we're going to find a Braisa that says the same as Rabbi Yochanan. What does it say, the Braisa? The Braisa says, Osham Mitzayra Sheshochatoy Shaloi Lishmoy. Exactly the case we're dealing with now. If the Kohen who shechted, or whoever shechted the Osham Mitzayra, did it Shaloi Lishmoy, Oy Shaloi Nosan Midomoy Legabe Bohinois, or if the blood, we mentioned before already that the blood of the asham has to be put onto the thumbs, the ear and the thumbs of the right hand thumb and the right foot and the thumb and the right ear. If they, for whatever reason, the blood was not put on the bohinois, it's still a kosher korban, and you can put it on the mizbeach. V'taon nesachim, and the nesachim, the wine that goes with it, you still have to bring. V'tzorich osham acher. Since le'olu le'baylim l'shem chayva, there was something wrong with it, you have to bring another osham. V'tzorich, you have to bring another osham. L'achshiroi, in order to make this metzorich kosher, to be able to eat kachim. So you see clearly from here, like Rabbi Yochanan said, that there's at least some opinion that says you can bring another osham. It's not going to be Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. As we said before, even Rabbi Yochanan said, Ein lo takana. But Rabbi Yochanan said that Rabbi Meir holds that you can bring another asham. Rav Chisda says you can't bring another asham because it says oisoi. Here you have a braisa. There's explicitly an opinion that says you can bring another asham. So Rav Chisda, Omar Lachod, you know how Rav Chisda is going to answer this braisa? He's going to say there's no proof in this braisa that you can actually bring another korban asham. My tzorich, what does it mean when it says tzorich? Tzorich, ve'en lo takona. What it means is, you have to bring another asham if you want to be able to eat kachim, but you cannot bring it. It's what you need to do in or before you can eat kachim. But you cannot bring it, you have no choice, because it says oisai. So, ein lo takona. Asks the Gemara, v'toni tana tzorich, ve'en lo takona. Do you ever find anywhere else that the term tzorich is used, that you need to do something when in truth you need to do it, but you can't do it, and therefore there's no remedy, there's no takana? Where do we find such a term? Says the Gemara in. We do find such a thing. Votanya, we learned in a braisa, and there's halacha by a nozir, that part of what a nozir has to do to, at the end of his naziras, he has to raise his head. He has to cut off all his hair with a razor, with a tar. What happens if you've got a nozir who's bald? Nozir mamoirot. He's got no hair on his head. You can use all the razors in the world. There's nothing to take off. Bishamay oimrim tzarich havoras tar. Bishamay say you need to do havoras tar. The Torah says you want to be, if you terminate your naziris, then part of what you have to do is you have to raise your, you have to cut off, you have to use the razor. Tzarich, you need to go over your head with the razor. B'shil say, Ein tzarech havaras tar, he hasn't got any hair. B'shil say, the main thing is that you remove his hair. He hasn't got any hair. Fine, so you haven't got any hair. But B'shamay say, tzarech havaras tar. V'omer Bavino, and Rav Avinu explained, that k'sha'imrim B'shamay tzarech, when B'shamay say, you have to go over it with the tar, tzarech v'ein lo itakona. As we saw before, if Chizda wanted was going to explain this, here we have a Reb Avino who says that B'shamay say tzorich, this nozir needs to take off his hair with the razor, but he doesn't have any hair, so he's got no takana. He's going to remain a nozir. So there we find we asked of Chizda, you of Chizda are saying that tzorich ve'ein lo takana. Where do you find such an example? We find such an example at least according to Reb Avino. The Gemara is now saying, Upliga der of Pados. Rav Avinu is actually arguing with Rav Pados. Because Rav Pados has a different explanation in the Beis Shammai. Domer of Pados, Beis Shammai v'Reb Elozer omru dover echad. So Rav Pados starts with saying that Beis Shammai says the same as Reb Elozer. We don't yet know what Beis Shammai says. Beis Shammai hod omron, which means that Beis Shammai says, Tzorich havoras tar. Those are the three words Beis Shammai says. And Rav Pados says that this Beis Shammai is the same opinion as Reb Elozer. Let's see what Reb Elozer is, and then maybe we'll understand how Rav Pados understood Beis Shammai. Reb Elozer, the Tanya we learned in the Mishnah, Ein loy boyhen yad v'boyhen regel. What happens if this Metzora, he doesn't have a right thumb, or he doesn't have a big toe on his right foot, but you have to put the blood on it, you have to put the oil on it. What do you do if he hasn't got it? Ein loy taro ilomis. The Tanakhama say, there's no way. The only way he can become toyer, he can be finished and be have no longer the restrictions of a metzora, is and to be able to eat kachim is if you can apply the blood and the oil onto his thumbs. He hasn't got a thumb. It's too bad. Reb Elozer Omer, what's Reb Elozer say? Noisen al mekoymoi v'yotza. Just put the blood and the oil where his thumb would have been had he had one. And then it's okay. So what do you see from here? That Beis Shammai says the same. But I don't understand. The Torah says that you have to put the blood on his and the oil on his thumbs, and he hasn't got thumbs. So it must be, at least that's the way Rav Pados is understanding this, that even though the Torah says you have to do something, if you've got no choice, it doesn't matter if you're not keeping to the letter of exactly to the letter of the law, so to speak, ad hasayf. Rashi calls it loy ba'inon kra. If it's not possible, then you can do be'erech. You can just try and get by with what you can do. And that is what Reb Elozer holds. And Rav Pados said that Beis Shammai says the same. So if Beis Shammai says that tzorich, that you have to do tzorich havoras tar, you know what Beis Shammai mean? Take a razor, go over his head, nothing's going to come off because he's got no hair, and that's the closest you can get. It's no different to putting the oil or the blood where his thumb would have been. And that's it, you're yotza. And he'll get his tara. So you see that Rav Pados understood that Beis Shammai says, tzorich v'yesh lo itakona. Not like Rav Avinu said, that it's tzorich v'ein lo itakona. Rav Elozer Omer, no, it's not mekayme v'yotza. And then he's completely tired. Rav Shimon Omer, Rav Shimon says that im nosan, Al shel smoil yotza. He also says like Reb Elozer that if you can't do exactly what it says in the pasuk, it's just not possible. Then it will suffice to do something similar to do the closest you can. Just Reb Shimon said, don't just put it on the place where his thumbs would have been, but if you put the blood or the oil on his left hand, it should be normally on the right thumbs. He hasn't got. Put it on the left thumbs and yotza, and then that suffices. Continues the Gemara, and we're still continuing with the Metzora. Tana Rabbanon. It says in the pasuk, "V'lokach hakoyin midam ha'osham." The kohen takes from the blood of the osham. V'nosan hakoyin al tnuch oizen hamitayir hayemonis v'alboyin yodei hayemonis v'alboyin ragla hayemonis, and he applies some of the blood on the right ear, the right thumb of his hand, and the right thumb of his foot, the big toe of his foot, with this blood of the osham. What does the word v'lokach mean? So whenever it says v'lokach in the context of a korban, it's always kabolas hadam. You're receiving the blood in order to apply it onto his ears and thumbs. V'lokach midam ha'osham, yochel b'kli. I may have thought that you have to receive the blood in a vessel, as you normally do with Kabbalah Sadam. Talmud Loimar, it says in the Pasuk, V'nosan, it says, V'lokach HaKoyen, the Koyen takes the Midama Oshram, he takes the blood, V'nosan, and he applies it, he puts it onto the V'nosan HaKoyen, Al Tenuch Oizen, etc., on his ear and his thumb. And so we have the word V'lokach together, the word V'nosan, Man Sino, in the same way as applying the blood onto the ear and thumbs of the Koyen, of the Metzora, sorry, is Ba'atzma Shel Koyen, he's doing it with his bare hands, with his finger. He's not throwing it on with the utensil. He's dipping in his finger into the blood and then putting it onto the ear and thumbs. Aflekicha, so too when you receive the blood of the Osham, Ba'atzma Shel Koyen, you don't receive it in a utensil, you receive it in your bare hands. Yochel Aflam is Be'achkein. I may have thought that maybe to receive the blood of this Osham with the intentions of doing Zrikas Adam, because we said before, one of the things we have to do, we have to put the blood, we have to apply the blood, as with every other Korban Osham, onto the Mizbeach. Maybe there too you receive the blood in your hands and take it to the Mizbeach that way. Talmud Leima, no. It says that we learn in another Pasuk, it says, Ki kachatos ha'osham hu. That we compare an osham to chatos. Ma chatos, the same way as a chatos, to'uno kli, you have to receive the blood in a utensil. Af osham to'un kli, so you have to receive the blood in a kli. So now we've got an issue. We've got somebody who needs to receive the blood in a kli in order to do Zrikas Adam. We've got somebody who needs to receive the blood in his hands in order to apply the blood onto the ears and the thumbs of this Metzora. Nimtzei sato oimer. So what's going to happen? What's going to be? Osham Metzora, Shnei Koyanim Mekablim Es Domoi. There are two Koyanim receiving the blood. Echod Biyad, Ve'echod Bikli. One of them is receiving it in his hand, and one is receiving it with a Kli. Zeh Shekibel Bikli, the one that's receiving the blood in the vessel, Bolo Yitzal Mizbeach, is going to go to the Mizbeach and sprinkle the blood there. Zeh Shekibel Biyad, the one that receives it in his hand, Bolo Yitzal Metzora, he'll go to the Metzora and put the blood on his ear and his thumb. Continues the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonon. That's the version of the Vilna Gaon, Tonu Rabbonon. And this is now taking us back to our Yom Kippur. We said before, what happens if for whatever good or bad reason, something went wrong, the blood got spilt, and you have to, everybody agrees that you have to, the whole question was, where do you go back to? But if you haven't finished doing the Avodah, then you have to bring another Korban. If you have to bring another korban of a bull, you have to shecht another bull. If you need the blood of the goat, you have to shecht the goat. Now, the issue is, it's something we haven't discussed yet at length, and that is that this goat, that the blood is being put into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then into the Heichal towards the curtain, and then on the Mizbeach that we've learned about at length, this Sawyer was actually one of the two goats that were determined to be Kodesh Lashem, Chatos Lashem. It was going to be a Korban Chatos Lashem via a Goyrel. Now suddenly that blood got spilt. We need another Seir. Can you just go and shecht another Seir? No. What you have to do is you have to take another two Seirim and you have to do a Goyrel. And then the Goyrel that comes out, Chatos Lashem, that's going to be the one that you're going to replace the blood with of the one that spilt. And we'll have to see later what to do with the Azazel one, because every Goyrel is two. So every time you need to reshecht, or you need to bring the new blood of a goat, you have to bring two goats and do a Goyrel. The question now is, these goats, what did they do with them? And the same would apply with the bull. If you have to shecht another bull, then you might have now two bulls. If the blood of the bull got spilt, you need to shecht another one. So now you've got two bulls here, and the halacha is that this bull and the goat is later going to be taken out of the three camps, out of the three machanois, and was going to be burned. And the halacha is that anyone who's engaged in burning the soyer and the parah becomes tomei on some level. And they have to be burnt outside, in the Beis Hadeshen it's called, outside the Machnois, outside Yerushalayim. So the question is, what's the halacha now? If I've got two goats, three goats, however many there are, two or three bulls, what do I do now? Which ones do I take out to burn outside? Which ones, when are going to make those engaged in burning them tomei, says the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon, v'chulon metamin begodim v'nisrafin abeis hadeshen. All the seirim, however many you had to shecht, however many of the bulls you had to shecht, you take them all outside the machne, you burn them all, and the people engaged in any of the burning are going to become tomei. The begodim are going to become, the clothes are going to become tomei. Divi Rebbe Lozo v'Reb Shimon, that was the opinion of Rebbe Lozo and Reb Shimon. And this resonates with what we said before, that the opinion of Rebbe Lozo v'Reb Shimon is that if you start doing an avodah with an animal, then it still counts. We don't say that it's as if you didn't do anything, you have to start again. They say that whatever you've done already, you don't need to redo. So each of these animals is part of the process, and that's why they all get taken out and they all get burnt. V'chachomim oimrim, the chachomim say no. Ein metamin begodim ve'ein nisrofin abeis hadeshen, elo ha'achrin. It's only the last one, the final one. Hoil v'gomar bo'i kapora, since it's the final one, which is actually completes the atonement, that final animal is the one that's going to be taken outside to the Beis Hadeshen, and when it's burnt, the people engaged in the burning, their clothes are going to be tomei. And this that I explained, that it was Rebbe Lozo v'Reb Shimon, based on their own opinion before, Rabbeinu Chananel says that, but if you learn Rashi well, and the Tosfos Yeshanim, there could be room to learn differently, but we've explained the Gemara in a basic way. Continues the Gemara, and as we saw before, that whenever you have to shecht, you have to bring a new soyer, then with it there's a pair, there's a twin goat, with not real twin, but a second goat, which was in the same hagrola, in the same lot, and you had to do the pious, and one of them was nazazil. So in the same way as you might have two or three or four goats, depending on how many times the blood spilt, you're now going to have that many soyers, which are all soyer la'azazil. The Gemara is asking, boy mine rova mirav Nachman, rova is inquiring by Rav Nachman, kama si'irim mishalech. So I understand there's a machlekes here, how many of the si'irim that were shechted, how many get burnt at the Beis Hadeshen? We saw it was a machlekes, whether it's all of them or just the last one. How many of them are going to get sent to the azazil? Omale, so Rav Nachman answered back to Rava, "V'chi edroi meshaleach? Do you think we're going to send a whole herd of goats to the Azazel? Of course, only one." Omale, so Rava responded back to Rav Nachman, "I don't understand. V'chi edroi seiruf? We can ask the same question. You're going to burn a whole herd of goats outside the machane by the Beis Hadeshen? Why would you say that? And if you assume, like we said before, according to Rabbi Lozo Reb Shimon, that all of them get taken to the Beis Hadeshen, for the same token, all of them could be sent to the Azazel. Says of Nachman, no, mi domi. It's not the same. Hossam, regarding the sawyer that was shechted, loiksiv oisoi. It doesn't say in the Pasuk that only one is allowed to be burnt. Hocha, however, here, regarding the sawyer la'azazel, ksiv oisoi, it says in the Pasuk that l'shaleach oisoi la'azazil, only one gets sent to an azazil, not more. So you have a Pasuk that only one gets sent. The question now is, which one gets sent? Itmar of Popi Mishmei Derava, Omar, Rishon Meshaleach. The first one, the one from the original lots, the first soil la'azazil, that's the one that gets sent. And the others, they get left to graze, and then they get sold, and the money gets used for Kayat HaMizbech. Rav Simi Mishmei Derava Omar, that was of Popi in the name of Rava. Rav Simi says that in the name of Rava Omar, Achrin Meshalech, the last one, that's the one you send to the Azazel. The Gemara says, Bishleim Rav Simi, according to Rav Simi Mishmei Derava, the Omar Achrin Meshalech, I can understand the logic of the last one being sent. Kosova hoil the gomar by kapora, that's the end, the final atonement is with the last one. I can understand that's the one that should get sent. Elor of Popi Mishmei Derava, my Kosova, why would we send the first one? Answers the Gemara, Sova lo Rabbi Yosi, because he holds, or Popi in the name of Rava holds, there's a concept called the Omar Mitzvah Barishin. Whenever you have, you can choose from a number of items or a number of things, which one to use for a mitzvah, always take the first one. let's see where this is. We're going to have two options in the Gemara. Hi, Rabbi Yossi. Which Rabbi Yossi is this? Where do we find that Rabbi Yossi had this opinion that mitzvah borishon? Ilema, the Gemara is suggesting, is it Rabbi Yossi de kupois? Rabbi Yossi with the money boxes? What was that? Ditnan, we learned in the Mishnah, shaloish kupois shel shaloish shaloish soin. We know that in Rosh Chodesh Adar, in the month of Adar, people, all of Klal Yisrael, would send in their half a shekel into a big chamber in the someplace in the Beis HaMikdash. And then they would remove the money. They would do a Trumas HaLishka into three different boxes at three different intervals. Box Aleph, Box Beis, Box Gimel. And each box had Shalosh Shalosh Soim, Shebehem Toyer Min HaLishka. And with these boxes, they would withdraw money from this chamber. V'hoyah Kosov Aleim. And on these boxes was written Aleph, Beis, Gimel. They were numbered. V'tanya, we learnt in a Brayis Amar Rabbi Yossi, Loma Kosov Aleim Aleph Beis Gimel. Why were they numbered? Leida Ezemem Nitzra Morishin. I want to know. This box was the first box that was the money withdrawn from the chamber, and then there was the second box, and then the third box. And then we learnt in Maseches Shkolim at length what this was all for. But why was it important to know which box was Aleph? To know Lahoviyim and Morishin, because that was the first box that the money was withdrawn from the chamber. And that's the one that would be used first for the korbanos. Shemitzvah Barishin is a mitzvah to use the money of the first box for the korbanos, to use that money first. So maybe we have proof. This is a Rabbi Yossi that says mitzvah Barishin. Says the Gemara, no. Dilma be'idnot is chazoi kamaisa lo is chazoi basraisa. When did the first box become fit to be used for korbanos? As soon as you withdrew into this box from the chamber, you could use that money. At that point, the second withdrawal hadn't been done yet. So maybe only over there, mitzvah berishoin is because when the rishoin, when the first one became fit, no other coins were fit. But over here, you have Azazel, these korbanos, so these goats going to the Azazel. At what point does the very first animal become fit to be sent to Azazel? Only after all the applications of the blood of the bull and the goats are finished, then they send the animal to the Azazel. At that point, all the animals, all those Azazels, all those Seirim, all those goats, are all equally fit to be sent to the Azazel. Maybe in that case, Rabbi Yossi won't say mitzvah berishoin. It's only mitzvah berishoin when the first one became fit before the others. Says the Gemara, okay, Elo Rabbi Yossi de Pesach. I've got another case where you have two animals that both became fit at the same time, and nonetheless Rabbi Yossi says, mitzvah berishoin. Ditnan, we learnt in the Braisa. Hamalfrish Pischo, if somebody separates an animal and says, this will be my Korban Pesach. And this must be talking about, and Rashi speaks this out, this is talking about where before Chatzos, he separated this animal and said, this is going to be a Korban Pesach. Is it fit to be a Korban Pesach now? No, it's not. When it comes to the point of Chatzos, at the point of the beginning of the time of Shechting the Korban Pesach, that's when it's going to be fit, and that's when it will be a Pesach. V'ovad, and then that animal got lost. V'hifrish achir tachtov, and he separated a second animal and says, I've lost my first Korban Pesach, this will be my Korban Pesach. V'achar kach nimtza rishon, and then they found the first Korban. It doesn't really matter when they found the first korban, but at the point of Chatzos, both of these animals are now fit for to be a Korban Pesach. Before Chatzos, no animal can be shechted for Korban Pesach. After Chatzos, you've got two animals that at the moment of Chatzos, they're now fit to be Korban Pesach. Which one should you choose? V'harei shneim oimdim, both of them are standing in front of you now. Eize mem sheyirtza yakriv divrei chachomim. The chachomim say makes no difference. You choose any animal you like. Either this Korban Pesach, that Korban Pesach. What happens with the other one? We learned in Maseches Pesachim. Rabbi Yossi Omer, here Rabbi Yossi says no. Mitzvah Barishain, the one you separated first to be the Korban Pesach, take that one, even though it became fit to be shechted at the same time as the second one. It's the same as the Azazel, that at the time that they were going to be able to be sent to the Azazel, all of them are going to be fit at the same time, when you finished doing everything else with the par and the soyer of the chatos, that those of the bifnim, of that was sprinkled inside. And so you see here clearly, Rabbi Yossi says mitzvah berishon. It happens to be that the Braisa adds on a detail that only applies to the Korban Pesach, not to the Azazel. V'im hoyo sheini muvchar, if the second Korban Pesach is a choice animal, mimenu yavienu. Bring that one as the Korban Pesach. But that only applies to the Korban Pesach. It's a regular Korban. It's going to be eaten. Bring the choicer one. But the Azazel, there's no preference of having a choicer animal, and therefore mitzvah Borishoin, we have Rabbi Yossi, who says you should use the first one. Hadron Alochi, Tziuloi, B'siyat Dishmai, we finished Perek HaTziuloi. Im Yirtzeh Hashem, we're going to do Chazor on Perek HaTziuloi. And in the next year, we're going to start Perek Shnei Se'irei.